Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the New Products Division here at Car Talk Plaza. And once again, someone has beaten us to a million-dollar idea. I mean, why didn't we think of this first? We get in the mail a little spray bottle.
Yeah.
It says, reduce road rage.
Yeah.
On the bottle, and all kinds of printed propaganda along with it.
I'll read you the propaganda.
Yeah, go ahead, because this...
Reduce road rage, an all-natural herbal vitamin spray that is safe and effective. This special formula promotes calmness to reduce stress without losing alertness, which helps reduce road rage. So when you have that feeling that you got to kill somebody,
you pop the little top off of this thing
and you spray
one spray in your mouth. Now I was reading the thing. It has some interesting ingredients. It has St. John's warts.
How about chloroform?
It has Siberian husky or Siberian ginseng. It has Rocky Balboa and essence of dingleberry. I mean, it has all the important ingredients.
Yeah.
And it's great stuff. And I'm going to keep this handy. So if Tommy starts ranting during the show, I'll be able to give him a shot. Actually, I was working on a similar product.
You were?
Well, yes.
How does it
not
work?
Not similar, really. Quite different. Well, it's
a... With firearms involved.
Close. It's a spray, but you spray it in the face of the guy that you cut off. It has the same effect. You immediately feel better.
The trouble with this stuff is that the person who's responsible for the road rage is the person who has to take it. He's the one who's going nuts.
Well, this requires that you recognize that you are a raging type.
And they don't. I mean, they don't know. What they need is something like the automatic dope slap.
No, I mean, how do you know? For example, do you think you're the road rage type?
No, I'm not.
Well, then there you go. Here's your sign.
Now, this stuff is made by a company called Creative Health and Spirit Products. Guess where they are?
Got to be in Southern California.
And guess exactly where?
La Cienega Boulevard.
No, Manhattan Beach.
That's a good place for them.
That's have you been to Manhattan Beach?
Yes.
They're all there. Dimitri used to live in Manhattan Beach. I'll go talk to him.
If you want to talk to us about your car or road rage or anything else, the number to call is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. If you want to talk to Avogadro, his number is 1.022 times 10 to the 23rd. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Sarah from Detroit.
Hi, Sarah.
What's up?
I have an 88 Honda Accord DX, and I recently had the clutch changed, and now it won't stay in fifth gear. It can go in, but it doesn't feel like it's fully engaged, and when I put it in, it kind of makes this grinding noise, kind of like a...
And this happened immediately after the clutch was installed. Is that correct?
Yes. I took it on one road trip, and about 80 miles out of town is when it initially popped out of gear, and I can't get it to stay in ever since.
And it never did this before?
Never. Never. And the guys that did it are trying to tell me that I dropped fifth gear, but I think that's kind of fishy.
Well.
Oh, boy. How long have you been going to these guys?
Well, this was actually the first time I ever went to them, but they are backyard garage mechanics.
Backyard?
Yeah, out of an aunt's garage, trying to start a business, gave me a deal.
Oh, trying to save a few bucks, eh?
And now what do they propose?
They say that it is not their problem, that I dropped a gear, and it's my own problem now.
Oh, but they haven't offered you some kind of an extraordinarily good deal on a used transmission? They're kissing you off, so to speak?
Yeah, in a way.
Does it feel sloppy, the shifter?
No, actually, it feels tighter than it did before.
It feels tighter.
Too bad.
And, you know, when the engine's cold, it'll stay in gear longer. If I say I just jump right on the expressway, it'll stay in gear longer.
Oh, bad sign.
That was the worst thing you could have said to us.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no,
Sarah.
Yeah, fifth gear synchronizer is gone, and that's why it's popping out. And this is what happens when you lose a gear.
Right.
And it means that they really had nothing to do with it.
It was just bad luck.
And they're completely innocent.
Okay. That makes me feel better, though, because I did trust them before, and I don't want to feel like I...
Yeah, but I'm disappointed that they didn't say to you, look, Sarah,
here's
why don't
we
try to find a used transmission and we know that this thing's going to come right out because we left half the bolts out when we put it back in. So we know it's going to be a 10-minute job. And maybe they could make you some kind of a deal. And you should propose that. Say, look, guys, I apologize for accusing you.
Yeah.
Alternatively.
I mean, don't forget, they're trying to learn the business. So you can be their tutor in some ways.
Their guinea pig?
Yeah. I mean, they're never going to get a bolt this way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be the one who takes them along this path of boatness.
Here's what you do.
Okay.
Boat dumb, I think it's
boat
called.
Boat dumb, that's it. That's what I meant.
You make some brownies as a peace offering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you start with the warm brownies are better.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
You get them right out of the oven, you whisk them right over to these guys.
Put them under the hood, they'll stay warm.
What are their names? Daryl and Daryl? And you tell them that, you know, you suspected them, but now you found out that it in all likelihood, wasn't their fault. And could they please find you a used transmission and give you a break on installing it?
Right.
Now, if you decide to take a different approach here, you
could sue their butts.
You could buy a bungee cord. You remove the glove box door and wire the thing.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Because, I mean, the truth is that nothing really worse can happen.
Yeah, the transmission's already ruined.
It's already ruined. So, I mean, the truth is, if you could keep it in fifth gear without popping out, you'd be happy, and the transmission wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
So my brother's idea of the bungee cord. Go to our website. We sell bungee cords. They're called fifth gear bungee cords. They're
right.
In the Shameless Commerce division. They're color coordinated. You tell us what color the interior of your car is. And we will sell you the fifth gear. In fact, we have Honda. Don't we have the Honda bunch?
We have all the Honda colors.
Yeah. Oh, we have all the Honda colors.
What color is your car? Is it red?
It's burgundy, yep.
That's how we got them. See you, Sarah.
Thank you, guys.
See you later.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tyler from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Tyler.
Tyler.
And I have a 1987 Toyota Corolla, and I have a knocking sound.
Yeah.
It gets faster as the car is moving faster.
Mm-hmm.
And if I touch my foot to the brake pedal, it immediately goes away, and then as soon as I take my foot off the brake, it comes back.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how long has this noise been there?
I would say probably 4 or 5 months.
And you weren't worried about
it. Yeah, I'm very proactive.
How loud is it, and where does it sound like it's coming from?
To me, where I'm sitting, it sounds like it's coming from the front right of the car, although I can't be positive.
And is it a...
That's pretty close. That's almost exactly it.
Yeah. And am I correct in assuming that you don't often drive on the highway?
That's right. That's correct.
Yeah.
Hmm. Got an idea there?
I'm just stalling for time. I figured the answer was either going to be yes or no.
What color is the Corolla, Tyler?
It is blue.
Blue.
Uh-huh.
Do we have bungee cords for the blue ones?
Yeah. Well, here's what I think is wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm hoping you would jump in. No, what I think is wrong is that you have a warped disc or a bad...
No, I don't like the disc idea. I like the next idea, the caliper idea.
Well, whatever. I mean, there's something with the front brake, and
he knows that. He steps on the brake, and the noise goes away. You're not being very helpful.
Could be a wheelbarrow, but here's what I thought. Jeez.
Well, the guy spent a quarter to call us.
Well, I think you have a warped disc rotor, and what's happening is as you drive down the road, when your foot is off the pedal, that warp is coming around with every rotation of the wheel. I'm going to guess that as you speed up, its frequency speeds up, too.
He's going to guess that. The guy just said that. He said, as I go faster, the frequency...
And you don't drive on the highway much, do you?
I mean, I hate to expose you like this, but come on.
I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. This is unfair.
Get this. I'm going to guess this car is blue. How did I do, Tyler?
Well, anyway, in my humble opinion, you have a warped disc. So as the warp comes around, and hits the brake pad, it makes the tuk-tuk-tuk. It's actually moving the pad in the caliper bracket. When you step on the brakes,
I like it.
You apply force to the pads and to push them against the rotating disc, and as such, you prevent the pad from being manipulated by the warp in the disc.
Okay.
And the reason I guess that you don't drive on the highway very much is, first of all, it's an 87 Corolla, but more importantly, if you drive this thing on the highway and step on the brake at high speed, I think one of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to feel a terrible vibration in the whole car, telegraphing right through the pedal, or the right front wheel's going to fall off. But get it checked, because there's a potential for it to be something else. You could, in fact, even have a bolt missing from the caliper.
I will do that.
See you, Tyler.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's June from Birmingham, Alabama.
June! How are you?
Just great.
Now, you see, you don't hear that. I have one customer whose name is June. I like that name.
June is a nice name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's sort of sophisticated and yet simple.
My mother will thank you.
Reminds me of the time I was in this really snotty French restaurant, and the waiter was explaining the pâté of the day. And we asked him, well, what is it? He said, well, it's a country pâté. And I said, well, yeah, what does that mean? He said, well, I would say that it's rather coarse. And then without missing a beat, he said, but not unsophisticated. I almost kicked him. Yeah, in any event, hi, June, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
I have a 96 Jeep Cherokee. It has four-wheel drive. I bought it because I love wildflowers and hiking and ferns and all of that. I'm an outdoor person. And I got it so I could go out in the woods looking for things.
And drive over tree stumps and across little streams and whatever. Sure.
It's very rugged.
Mm-hmm.
The office building where I work has just installed these obnoxious, annoying speed breakers in the parking lot. They are very tall. They are diagonal to the road.
They're humps.
They're humps.
Yeah, speed bumps.
They're awful. And since I have this rugged Jeep, do I have to stop? Can I just roll right over them?
Well, the fact that you have this sort of all-terrain vehicle makes the suspension such that when you hit a good bump, you go bouncing all around, and that thing just goes bonkies, right?
Right.
And that's because it's going to do that when you're driving over the tree stumps, and you want to make sure that it's high off, enough off the ground that the tree stumps don't rip everything out. So you do whatever you want. The answer is how much can you take?
Yeah.
I mean, you won't be hurting it if you drive fast over this bump.
Well, you will be. I mean, you'll be pushing the steering and the suspension to its limits.
Well, but I think you'll hit your limit long before you hit the vehicle's limit. I mean, she'll be bouncing off the walls of this thing. I mean, if you hit that thing doing 15 miles an hour, you'll go out the sunroof if you have one.
Yeah, you chip one tooth and you'll stop this.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to do more harm to yourself than to the vehicle.
Now, But
that wasn't your question.
Why did they put in these speed bumps? Did somebody
get... slow down wackos like June who want to go speeding around the parking lot.
Maybe just for you.
Well, there used to be a way you could go in the back way, but they figured that out and put the speed bumps there, too.
Now, when you drive through the woods in pursuit of your wildflowers, do you drive at 45 miles an hour, or do you slow down to 2 miles an hour?
Oh, no, because I'm looking.
She's looking. Yeah, she's going slowly.
Now, you're trying to tell me that you're that anxious to get to work that you don't want to slow down going into the parking lot? That you can't wait to get to work?
The speed bumps are on the way out of the parking lot.
No, they're both ways.
Yeah, they are.
Good point.
No, I would slow right down to a crawl and smell those roses on the way to work.
And why don't you want to do that, June?
Oh, because it's just wasted time when I could be doing something else.
But that's sort of like what the malady or the malaise of the millennium has been. The fact that everyone is afraid to waste a minute. That's why people are talking on their cell phones, combing their hair while they drive, eating while they drive.
Right, they call it multitasking. I'm committed to monotasking.
Monotasking is good. Yeah, I mean, Why is it that everyone thinks they got to be doing something and they got to be doing it faster and faster and faster?
Because everyone's ahead, afraid that the other person is getting ahead of them.
But don't they realize that up ahead ain't any better than it is right here? Didn't they?
No, in fact, up ahead
now
is crowded because everyone's up there. Stay back.
Yeah, no, I think I don't know what to do about it, but it seems to me that people have gone wacky. People have gone wacky. But you sound, June, I guess the reason I'm surprised at this is June sounds like a very laid-back, patient kind of person. She goes and looks at wildflowers.
No, that's to soothe the savage beast in her.
Well, also, I'm a stockbroker.
See that? Oh, so when you
that
get,
explains a lot.
Yeah, okay, that does explain most everything.
Yeah, you got any you got any tips for us? Should we sell our tech stocks? Well, June, I don't know what to tell you, but try to slow down. You'll live longer.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Boy, I can't believe that she, with a voice like she had, that she was one of those go-go-go people.
Yeah, no, she's anxious to get to work. I wish I were that anxious to get to work. They can't drag me to work. Hey, do you happen to remember anything about last week's puzzler?
No, I can't say that I do. Maybe you could give me a hint?
Sure, of course, sir.
Yeah.
Answer this. What does your brain,
yeah,
have in common with a bowl of oatmeal?
A bowl of oatmeal? Cream of wheat or maple?
Doesn't matter. I'll tell you. The answer is everything. Your brain and a bowl of oatmeal are a perfect match. The puzzler was from my match stick series.
Oh,
we'll be back with the answer or more of your calls in a minute, so please stay tuned.
Every Sunday morning, I'm out there with my car. I've bonded to the bumper. Some would say I've gone too far. Put it on like frosting, a little at a time. I've a Bondo technique I can truly say is mine. Bondo queen, Bondo girl, Bondo babe, that's cool. It's now my life's ambition. I'm a Bondo fool.
And even though hog farmers turn to each other and say, imagine working around that all day, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this was from the Matchstick series.
Hmm.
Right? And I think I asked you to get 16 matchsticks.
And I got them right here. Go ahead.
And use them to create this half of an equation.
Yeah.
You start with one. Roman numerals, right?
Roman numerals. One.
Okay, which is one matchstick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then you use two matchsticks to make a plus sign.
Got it. Plus.
Two.
Roman numeral two.
Roman numeral two. Plus.
I.
Right.
Plus.
Okay.
I.
Captain. Plus. I.
I. I.
And that adds up to 10.
3, 6, 10. Yeah.
Anyway, the question was, move and reuse one matchstick to make the sum equal not to 10, but to 4. Right? And what you do is you take the plus sign between the 1 and the 2.
Yeah.
Take the vertical matchstick.
Yeah.
And put it horizontally in front of the 1. So now the thing reads minus 1, minus 2.
Yeah.
Plus 3, plus 4. Equals what?
4.
And a lot of people have trouble with this because the idea of putting a negative sign in front.
Yeah. I had trouble with that. 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade.
That encompassed 12 years. Yeah. Anyway, do we have a winner?
You bet we have a winner. The winner is Sue Goodney. from Bloomington, Indiana, and for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got. Sue is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, she can get a copy of our new music CD, Car Talk Cartoons, which includes my brother's anthem. They're all jerks.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so hold on to your easy chair. In the meantime, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. This is Judith calling from Fredericksburg.
Hi, Judith.
Judith!
Hey, how are you?
There are lots of Fredericksburgs.
This is the one in Virginia.
This is the one in Virginia.
The real one, huh?
Of course. Yes. That's only one.
Well, I mean, that's right. That's why you'd need to identify.
The great Fredericksburg, yeah.
So what's up, Judith?
Well, I have a 93 Mazda Navajo. Right now it's up in New England, and I'm down here in Fredericksburg. And that's because I was driving it on 95, and I'm thinking, I like this car. Maybe in a couple years I'll get another car. And then I start losing my clutch. And at that point, the RPMs start going up on the car, and I was slowing down to get off the highway. And then I lost the clutch, and then the transfer case exploded, and sending chunks of metal into the car. And it all missed me. And then flames came in at my feet. And I got the car slowed down to the shoulder of the road. The brake pedal melted. I got out of the car.
How did you know something was wrong? I mean,
what tipped you off? Right. Exactly my thought.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it was very scary. And the car got towed to a mechanic in Providence who I knew from many years ago when I was in grad school there. And
Ed Brown.
That's where I got my degree.
In what?
Psycholinguistics.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. I'll call back next week. We can talk about that.
And
yeah. Hey, what's happened to you? Never mind. But anyway.
Wow.
Let's go back and do the chronology again. You first felt that the clutch was slipping.
Yeah.
When in fact it really wasn't. What happened was your transmission was tearing itself apart.
There you go.
And that could have happened due to lack of oil in the transmission. And that could have caused the transmission housing to explode because of the tremendous forces built up in the heat and the resultant twisted metal.
How would you know if there's lack of oil in your transmission?
Well, something like this
happens. Like it blows up. Wow.
Yeah, no, most people don't know. I mean, usually the fader is a little less dramatic.
Yeah.
Usually it starts to make a noise like a cement mixer.
No.
You heard nothing?
No.
When did you hit the big rock?
Yeah, as far as I know, as far as the insurance claims adjuster knows, I didn't hit anything.
Really?
Well, that's what he said.
Would it be helpful if you had hit something?
No.
Would it help your... yeah, it would.
Yeah, sure. I think then it might be on my collision, but
right.
this way I'm getting about $288.
Right, but if you had hit a rock,
if you had hit a rock, the rock goes up, it punctures a hole in the
transfer case. The oil leaks out.
Most of the oil leaks
out.
We have to leave a little bit to catch fire later. Most of the oil leaks out.
Right.
The friction thereby caused, oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only scenario I see.
And would that stand up in court, that scenario?
Never. Oh, no, they're going to run you out in a rail.
I mean, what was left of the transmission? I mean, we can do some forensics here.
The car is now at a mechanic up in Rhode Island, and I'm about to sign the title to give it to him because I don't know what else to do with it. And
but before you do that, I think you want from him some kind of a letter stating what he thinks happened to it.
I will ask him because the claims man said that he did not see anything that looked like it was caused by the road.
Well, what's he going to say? Who does he work for?
I know who he works for. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, we can't believe a word he says. I mean, how?
No, you need an independent, and this fellow to whom you've taken it is going to give you his opinion.
Okay.
And I think that if his differs from that fellow's, then you have every right to fight them. If it's the same, then you just take the, what are they going to give you, $87?
$288.
Yeah, and minus my deductible. So.
Oh, so you're going to owe them
$500. You're going to owe them $212. $312.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Write the check.
All right.
See you, Judith.
Thanks so much. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Ken in Bluffton, Indiana.
Hi, Ken.
Bluffton.
Close to Fort Wayne.
Okay.
Fort Wayne. Gotcha.
Where the Pistons used to be from.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Fort Wayne Pistons before they became the Detroit Pistons.
Right.
The basketball team.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Is Detroit also in Indiana?
No.
Used to be.
They moved.
Continental Drift is taking care of that. Anyway,
what's
Ken?
What's up, Ken?
Well, we have a 1995 Ford Contour. It's a manual transmission, and when you come up to a stop sign or a stoplight or a parking place or something and have the car idling, it will occasionally make a funny sound and stall.
Mm.
This is with the clutch out or with it out of gear. And it never does it when it's just sitting there idling. It never does it going down the road. But when it's idling coming up to a stop, it makes the noise. And the noise is like this. It goes, ooh.
Where's the noise coming from?
Well, that's hard to tell. You can hear it throughout the car, and you can't tell where it's coming from.
It's not from somebody in the back seat.
It's not somebody with a piece of tissue paper and a comb.
No. And it's a funny sound. It sounds like a cow mooing.
So it happens if you're coming to a stop and it stalls before you even get to stop.
But then I'm going to guess that it starts right up again.
Oh, yeah. It'll always start right up again and run normally.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked two mechanics about it. One Ford mechanic said he'd never heard of it before. And another mechanic suggested that the throttle body might be dirty or the mass sensor. And I checked that out, and I found a sign on the throttle body which said, do not clean this throttle body.
Right.
So I didn't.
All right. You qualify, Ken, for the cockamamie answer of the week.
Okay. Great. Well, I mean, it's an unusual situation.
It is. And this calls for drastic.
It calls for draconian measures.
Drastic
here.
Measures.
Go ahead. I can hardly wait, man. I mean, did this just come to you, or have you been developing it as Ken was giving us the details?
Before I even knew he was from Bluffton, I was working on
you
the
You were working
answer.
On the bluffing him.
All right, see if you'll go for this. There is a tube that connects the throttle body to the airflow sensor.
Yeah.
Okay, and that tube conveys the air. That's been sensed.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens is the engine uses the air to combust the fuel, but that air has to pass through the airflow sensor first, and then it travels through this tube, which is, I don't know how long, a foot or so long.
Yeah.
Whereupon it goes through the throttle body
and into
the cylinders.
Yeah.
If there were a crack in that tube...
I love it already.
Okay, that would account for two things.
The noise.
The moo.
Yeah.
And the stalling out.
Uh-huh.
Now, yeah, I know you're going to say that you examined this thing carefully.
No, I really haven't examined that tube, no.
Thank God. Well, I do like it.
And it would also account for the reason that it starts right up again, too. And now, it doesn't take much of a crack to create a leak. So that air, what it does is it leans out the mixer so that air is going in through this crack and not passing through the airflow sensor. So it upsets the mixture and the thing will stall because the mixture's all screwed up.
You got a huge amount of air and not enough gas.
Called a lean mixture.
Right.
It would stall out just like any vacuum leak would cause stalling, and then it could start right back up again until the next time it decided to do it. But I would examine that thing, and if that's not it, don't ever call back.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
See you, Ken.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to air out our Bronco Nagurski Long Johns?
Well, yes, but it's also time to play Stump the Chump. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was reasonable. Seasonable?
Or treasonable. Who's our lucky player?
It's Victoria from California by way of Eugene, Oregon. Do you remember her? No, I don't either.
No.
Victoria called us last January. She needed to buy 3 used cars for her 3 college-aged kids. To complicate matters, Victoria was going back to get a business degree herself, so money was an issue.
The boys live in California, and sometimes to get to work, they have very long drives. They might have to go to San Francisco, and they live south of Santa Cruz.
So how many of those are there?
We'll start at 1. They can work together.
Oh, they go to school together?
Yes, they do. They even live together.
Oh, so boy 1 and boy 2 could have the same car?
That's right.
Do boy 1 and boy 2 look alike?
They do.
Jeez, why are you paying 2 tuitions?
Exactly. Maybe they can get by with 1 tuition. One can go to class
ridiculous.
One day.
Of course. Just one of them signs up.
You got it.
Yeah.
And it's half duty for everybody.
Jeez, why didn't I think of that?
Well, and when they finally graduate,
yeah,
they'll each have half a job.
Hey, it worked for us.
So did we give Victoria, any real advice?
We did. Our advice was that she buy used Volvo 240s from the 80s and that she forget about the business degree and consider a career in floral design instead.
Oh, I remember now. Yeah, this sounds helpful. Okay, let's see how we did. Victoria, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
Correct.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or those 4 gold-plated pen and pencil cents that we sent you?
Oh, thank you.
So anyway, did you take our advice?
You know, I took it more deeply and seriously than you can imagine.
Oh, really?
Really?
The bottom line is, I didn't get the cars, but I didn't go to business school.
You didn't?
In the conversation, I had explained also that I'm primarily an artist.
Ah, yes. I remember this now.
You know what? I gave up the idea of business school. I sold a house that I had in Eugene. I've moved to California, and I am a successful painter and sculptor.
Wow!
Yes.
Yippee!
And you're not even dead yet.
No, not even.
Victoria,
no,
that's
even.
Great news.
Yes. So, you know, I've decided that, yes, you do give some good mechanical and auto advice.
But you're not going to, but you didn't take it.
Well, I just didn't get them a car, period. We made a decision as a family.
Yeah.
That, you know, this was just going to be a great move. Ma, if you ever want to be a stellar example for us, then you should follow your dreams, and that will
wow.
be the greatest incentive to us.
What
I am so happy, and I want to tell you guys, when you said that to me, it was just one of the little light bulbs, one of those profound moments that you hear advice from a rock, you know, out there.
So what kind of stuff do you do?
I do a large oil paintings that are very scenic. I do a lot of representational work.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
That means it looks like stuff.
Oh.
So you know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
true to life stuff.
That's sort of
yes.
good, isn't it?
True to life stuff. Yeah, it works for me. What can I say?
And when you say you're successful, that means you've sold something?
That's right.
Get out!
That's right. I didn't say that I was already in the black.
No, but that's all right.
And your kids are going to school so that if you really run into hard times, you can live with them.
Yeah, right.
When they're successfully employed.
So you've had shows and stuff?
Yes.
Good
yes.
for you, Victoria. Send us some pictures.
Oh, I'll do that. I've got a scanner. I can email you something.
Cool.
Oh, that would be great.
No problem.
Well, we're so happy.
Well, I am so happy, too. You know, I'm sure the Volvo would have been great. But to tell you the truth, I couldn't find the Volvos in the price range that I was looking for. The 240s, apparently, are well kept by
yeah, they're a hot yeah. commodity.
Yeah.
They're tough to find.
Well, anyway, don't forget, if this art career doesn't pan out, floral design is still beckoning.
Okay, thank you.
See you, Victoria.
Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Yeah, you did a great job, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Boy,
bye-bye.
Oh, boy. I guess our job here is done. I mean, our work here is done.
Yeah, we've
gotten Victoria on the... You got her on the right track in her life. We can just quit.
We could just loaf now? What have we been doing for the last 20 years?
Well, anyway, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Hey, as your concerned younger brother, I guess I got to ask you, man, you look like you've been dragging lately. tired and worn out. You all right?
Me? I'm feeling great. I've been riding my bike to the office. I bound up the stairs two at a time. I've been walking all over the city. I'm in my prime, man. I mean, I've never felt better.
You feel strong?
Strong.
Able?
Like bull, man.
Great. And you got exactly a minute to run down to the corner and get me coffee and 2 donuts.
I've been had.
We'll be back with the brand new puzzler in just a minute. Come on, get going. Time's wasted.
Well, the trucks are falling and the CB's calling, logging in the miles. The white line's rolling and the highway's tolling in every little while. I'm getting down Chicago town, Wisconsin's just behind. I'm on the road to Ohio and I can't waste no time. All that I'm surprised to find that Dixie Highway sign.
And even though Zorro unsheaths his sword and lunges at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And this was submitted many times, I think, by a guy named Chuck Lederer from cyberspace. And every time...
Many times, huh?
He changes it every time, tries to improve it. He gets the award for persistence, and I have to use it because...
Of course.
You know, you always should acknowledge persistent people.
You should.
Yeah.
Is this the third iteration, fourth iteration?
I don't know what it is. This is from 1970. This might be one of the first ones. And here it is.
Yeah.
Sergeant O'Malley and his rookie assistant, Ned, are on duty one Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And they're just pulling out of the local, you know,
donut shop,
as you might imagine. And they get a call on the radio that says that the town north of them has had a bank robbery and the suspects are proceeding south, high-speed chase. It's been going on for 40 minutes. And they should be on the lookout, even though the officers, the state police, don't have a plate number. They do know it's a yellow Mustang, and they've been in hot pursuit, but they lost them. But they're heading right to Centerville, where O'Malley and Ned work.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Whoa. I love it already.
So they should be on the lookout for a yellow Mustang with two men in the front seat and a woman in the back seat. Mm-hmm. So as they're pulling out of the donut shop, they happen to see that very car. And Sergeant O'Malley, pretty savvy guy, says, "That's the car, Ned. We're going to go after it."
Who's driving?
Well,
the Sarge or the Ned?
Ned's driving because he's the flunky.
Yeah.
And Sergeant O'Malley's sitting there drinking his coffee and spilling stuff on his uniform. Right?
Yeah.
He says, "Ned, flip on the siren and let's get him." Ned, who's been studying the back of the car, says,
"It's
I don't
not them.
Think so, Sarge. It's not them." And the sergeant says, "Of course it is. It's a yellow Mustang. It's got three people and two guys and a woman." He explains to him his theory. And O'Malley says,
Oh,
I guess you're right.
Oh.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge, Meh.
Wait, I was busy working on Cambridge. You mean Our Fair City, Cambridge?
I'll try again. Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Meh, 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. And right now, if you have a question about your car that just can't wait, call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Darcy calling from Seattle.
Darcy?
Yes.
Hi, Darcy.
What's up?
My car hates the rain in Seattle.
Man, you're in the wrong place, aren't you?
Every time I drive through standing water or a big puddle, my car starts sounding like an old Volkswagen bus.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a 1999 Toyota. Corolla.
What do you mean it's not sounding like an old Volkswagen bus?
Yes, worse than that, for about 5 miles. Whenever I step on the accelerator, it sounds even worse.
Gee, I remember years ago.
Yeah?
Years ago. Dougie will remember this. He's nodding like, sure, of course. We had a similar call about a Buick or some GM car that was doing the same kind of thing. And what it turned out to be was the water splashing on the front exhaust pipe was causing it to rapidly contract. And the front pipe was made out of, it was a double-walled pipe, which I believe your Toyota Camry is as well.
Corolla.
Corolla.
Yeah, Corolla.
So the inner wall of the pipe was being impinged upon by the rapidly shrinking outer pipe. In other words, when the exhaust system is hot, the both pipes expand at the same rate. But when it gets hit by water, the outer shell, that one exposed to the elements, starts to contract rapidly, and you get this awful noise until the thing reaches what's called equilibrium again, until the outer pipe heats up and the noise goes away.
So that's just time and driving.
Wait a minute. And how long does it take for it to stop making the noise?
It starts in about 5 seconds, and then it goes away after 5 minutes, 5 miles or so on the highway.
5 minutes, 5 miles. And during which time the car runs otherwise perfectly well.
Yes.
And you can steer it okay. You don't have any trouble steering it or stopping it or...
Right, right. It just sounds bad.
The radio works all right. The air freshener is still effervescing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you can do an experiment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We love experiments, especially on other people's cars.
Do you have a garden hose?
Yes.
Drive the car around on a day when it isn't raining. You might have to wait a while for that to happen. But and get the thing good and hot. And then pull into your driveway where the garden hose is and turn the hose on and wet down that front exhaust pipe. You'll be able to identify it. It's the thing under there that looks like a pipe and it's hot.
Okay.
And I bet if you wet, you'll have to lie down there on the ground. And if you wet this thing with your hose, you'll reproduce the noise.
This is sort of something I could enlist a friend in, and then I step on the gas in neutral.
Right. Yeah, make the friend lie down in the driveway and get wet.
Yeah, why should you do that?
Good idea, but I think that's what it is. I'm not worried that it's anything serious.
Okay, so it's not going to break my car long term.
No, but you know, you might want to, if that doesn't, never mind, that's going to do it.
Okay.
I'm 100% convinced.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
See you, Darcy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227. I discovered that if you're going to give a wrong answer, get rid of the caller right away. I mean, don't prolong the agony.
You were going to suggest something
else.
No,
but I realized that...
I think you were going to say, when that doesn't work,
yeah, but no,
try this.
No, I know.
Don't want to even discuss it with me. I'm your brother.
I ain't telling.
So if there's another option, it means you're not 100% convinced.
That's why I got rid of her right away. I didn't want her hanging around. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
But you know where she'll be back.
Stump the chumps. Yes, I do. Yeah. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Mike from Detroit.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
It's going good.
Good.
I got a question that nobody can seem to answer for me. I've got a 91 Chevy Lumina that's got 205,000 miles on it.
Really?
But the power steering pump, the line that goes to the gearbox, I can't seem to figure out how to get to that thing. I've been trying to repair it myself, but every place I take it to tells me they want like $400 or $500 here in Detroit to fix it.
You want to replace the high-pressure hose that goes from the pump to the rack?
Yes.
Because it's leaking, I presume.
Oh, yes, it's leaking like a sieve. Every time I stop, I got to put a whole bottle of power steering fluid in it.
Oh, that's no good.
No, it's no good at all.
Have you tried pepper? No, I don't think pepper works for a power steering.
But I don't think I've ever replaced a PS line on Illumina, to be honest. But I can't imagine it's that difficult to do. What's the problem? You can't get at it?
Yeah, it seems to be that the engine is located right on top of it, and there's a bunch of solid aluminum lines. They look like the fuel lines, and they're all bunched up around the steering column of the gearbox there, and I can't seem to get a wrench around that little nut fitting to take that pressure line off.
Well, you need to try a thing called a crow's foot. You know what a crow's foot is?
No, what is that?
A crow's foot looks like an opened-end wrench.
Okay.
Okay, that's been cut off so it's only about an inch long. It's like the imagine the shortest wrench imaginable, except it has a hole in the end to accept a ratchet.
Ah, okay.
So it's like if you took an open-end wrench and bent it at 90 degrees, for example, right at the end where the wrench part is.
Right.
It would be the equivalent of
and then
a
you made a
foot.
Square. And then you cut off that piece that you bent and made a square hole in it, okay, so that you could put the extension from your 3/8 drive ratchet in there. So what you'd have then is a little short little wrench, but then you'd have the mechanical advantage afforded you by your 6 or 8 inch long ratchet.
And the only thing that has to get through that little space is the extension for the 3/8 drive ratchet.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that
now you can get crow's feet that look just like open end wrenches, or you can get a crow's foot that has 4 sides of a hexagon, and
okay.
That's what you want.
Right.
You want a crow's foot that is actually what's called a fitting wrench. Okay.
Fitting wrench. Okay.
Or a line wrench.
A fitting wrench grabs the nut or the fitting better than just an open end.
Well, an open end wrench grabs
only grabs 2 sides.
On 2 sides, this thing is designed to grab it on 4 sides.
Yeah, I think that's what I need because it's rusted on there real good.
Now I don't know what size that thing is. It is probably 16 millimeters or 18 millimeters.
I'll just buy a set then because I need them anyway.
Sure, everyone should have crow's feet.
Yes.
Not on your eyes.
Not on my eyes.
Whether you use them on this project or not, it's a good thing to add to your tool collection. And it sounds like you have a lot of other tools already. What's a few hundred extra bucks, right?
Hey, yeah, you know, it's better than taking it to the mechanic and having them charge me to fix it up.
Sure, man, if they're going to charge you $400 to do this, you can spend 100 of it on tools.
Yeah.
And the weekend, then you're on your back in the driveway.
Right.
Good luck, Mike.
All right, thank you very much, guys.
See you later.
1-888-CAR-TALK. Boy, you remember the old days?
I don't have a set of crow's foot wrenches.
Remember the old days? We used to answer nothing but questions like that.
It came to me as soon as he asked this question. I said, mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do it. I mean, how many people want to lie on their backs in their driveway with crow's feet? Nobody.
No.
Everyone wants
double
to
chin's bad enough. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jean from Tower, Minnesota.
Tower?
Tower, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Like Sears Tower.
Yeah, that one.
Minnesota. Boy, you were unmistakably... You
have the classic Minnesota accent. Or whatever they call it.
Just the way you say... Can you say Minnesota again?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Yeah.
Right.
Gee, that's great. You were born there, obviously.
We kind of sound like Canadians here.
I mean, you don't get this in a couple of years of living in Tower, Minnesota. You've lived there pretty much all the time that you've been alive, right?
Well, I spent 15 years in Ohio.
Same thing.
Still the Midwest.
Come on. So what's cooking?
Well, I called because I listen to your show all the time, and I never have any mechanical problems to call you with because my husband trades our cars in all the time.
Okay.
Really?
Well, about every 18 months to 24 months.
You must be loaded, huh?
Because we put so many miles on them, he says that they will depreciate too much if we wait too long.
How many miles do you put on them?
Probably about 45,000 a year.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah, so he trades them in when they're about 68,000.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're doing everything possible to get the hell out of Minnesota every chance you get. Is that it?
No.
Oh, just asking.
Are you guys driving like to Vegas every weekend?
Don't pry into the woman's personal life.
That's fun, though.
Well, he likes to trade everything in, and I'm just worried that I might be next.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, that's important. I mean, people who turn in their cars every year and a half, they don't have attachments to many things.
I'm worried about the kids, myself, everything, the house. What am I going to do?
Oh, no, I think the fact that he is trading all this stuff in means that he's saving his attraction for you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what I tell my wife because I trade everything in all the time.
And the reason the car's got 45,000 miles on it is not that he's got a girlfriend in Michigan.
No, he's a salesman.
Uh-huh.
He's got a girlfriend everywhere.
Everywhere. And
all right, enough of this.
All right, come on.
Come on, enough of this fooling around.
It's a long distance between cities up here in the
I know.
Yeah, we know that.
So what's the question?
My question is, should we be doing this, or should we be keeping our cars longer than that?
Do it.
Do it?
Yeah. That's the easiest answer.
Well,
I mean, it costs you money. But first of all, if he's a salesman, does someone else sort of help buy the new car? Someone
no.
subsidize that? Oh, he pays for it himself.
No, no. He has his own company. So they're...
Oh, so business. The company. It's the company right. car.
Well, we've two of them.
Sure. Yeah.
A personal and a business.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to put 90,000 miles on a car in 2 years...
Right.
I mean, if you were literally trying to save money only, if money was your only consideration, it does not make sense to sell a two-year-old car to buy a new one.
No.
On the other hand, if you're on the road for 45,000 miles a year,
right.
then money isn't your only consideration. Reliability is a more important consideration, in which case he's doing probably exactly the right thing, and maybe he should be trading it in even sooner.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe he could race a new car waiting at every...
No, he's got it kind of figured out. I mean, if he does it like every year and a half,
right?
So he's up to like 65,000-70,000
right.
miles on the
right.
car. That's about the right time to do things.
Okay.
Yeah, and because that's the time when things are going to start to break. And if he really needs the car every day, which it sounds like he does,
right.
then you can't get stuck someplace getting a water pump replaced and miss, you know, meetings with clients and such.
Yeah, and all it's your important. Girlfriends will miss you.
It's important to have that car at the ready. So he's doing the right thing.
Okay.
It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But it's the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you never get to drive the car anyway.
Well, I do. We, you know.
Don't. The IRS could be listening. Gene, you never drive the car. The car is 100% used for business.
Right.
Right. And the only time you drive it is to take it to the car wash.
Right. Right. And he pays you to do that.
Right.
Right. You're on the payroll.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
okay,
good.
That's
glad
good.
We get that established. See you, Gene.
Good question.
All right.
See you
bye-bye.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Minnesota. I love it.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parotti. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Puerto Plata Enchilada Veggie Strata Ensalada Carne Asada Empanada Gran Piñata and Coffee Colada Lunch for Nada is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our class attendance monitor is Julie Verley. Our director of preventive maintenance is Oscar Ruitt. Our snowboarding instructor from Sweden is Soren DeKeister. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the tenure-track falafel sellers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1001, tiptoe through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our guide to safe jump starting.
No conflagrations?
No.
No red hot cables?
No.
Not even a little smoke? Come on, you're ruining all my fun.
Print out Car Talk's guide to safe jump starts and stick it in your glove box.
I beg your pardon.
It's available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Van Gogh kicks himself for not cutting off the other ear, too, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.